You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I mean, he needs no introduction, so there's no introduction. It's Arjuna Oaks. It's Arjuna Oaks, and you're coming to us from London, correct?
I'm actually in Scotland at the moment on a little road trip with my folks, but I've been living in London recently, so yes, from that side of the world.
Nice, man. How is it treating you over in the UK?
It's great, man. London is an insane city. There's definitely challenges, but it's it's an incredible scene and just a lot of music going on, and I've been really trying to make the most of it and get to know lots of people, and it's been great fun. It's been awesome, man.
Awesome. That's very good to hear. We're here to talk about your new single, The Love That I Feel. My first question for you is, what is your favorite love language? Or what is the one that resonates with you the most?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I mean, I think doing things for people is definitely one of my love languages. I really like to make meals for people, or to show them I care, turn up and do things. Mm-hmm. But also the other love language is music, really, and that's what the song is about, is music is how I am able to express myself the most naturally in my life.
Mm-hmm. And has that been a pretty consistent thing for you? You've been feeling that way about music for quite a long time?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of artists feel that their art form is the way that they're able to express themselves the most, the most naturally. And this song is almost a tongue-in-cheek kind of song about that, about how we can express certain things that are hard to express in words, that are maybe a little bit more complicated than words or nuanced, and we can express them through other ways, whether that's music like in the song, or that's dance like in the music video, or if that's any way other than words.
Mm-hmm. For sure. The press release for the song mentions a D'Angelo influence here, which I think is very, very clear around the 50-second mark when you really start going into your higher register. Do you think you're channeling Brown Sugar D'Angelo here, or were you going for more of a Soulquarians vibe? What was the D'Angelo vibe you were channeling?
I think D'Angelo definitely comes through in the groove of the song, in terms of it feels like it's drawing very heavily on Spanish Joint in terms of the kind of more Spanish Latin influence. But I think that's also just a general interest in Latin jazz as well. Mm-hmm. But then the kind of the falsetto definitely in the higher register, D'Angelo comes through, and I think there's a lineage there where D'Angelo was, really inspired by people like Prince, and it goes back further. Mm-hmm. And then, interestingly, I mean, I love D'Angelo so much, as many musicians do. But I think my parents never listened to D'Angelo growing up. I discovered him kind of the reverse way, because people like Shea Fu and Fat Freddy's Drop and these New Zealand musicians that I was listening to a lot as a kid, mm-hmm. they were inspired by people like D'Angelo and Erykah Badu and the Soulquarians. So I kind of found it through their inspirations, kind of backwards, which I really appreciate.
True. It's like when you're sieving, I don't know, when you're sieving anything, you get the original thing, and it gets filtered through, and it comes down to you as a different source material. It's very interesting, eh?
Yeah. That lineage. Yeah, it is interesting. I like it. I think it means that music becomes organic and becomes, kind of passed down that way. It's cool. I just think it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a personal opinion of mine about the song. I think it fades out a little early. Do you think you released an expanded edition? Because this is something I've noticed with a few artists lately. We had Gonna with their new song Goodwill, which did a similar thing, where I feel like there's a lot of room to expand and make it a bit more lengthy, have a bit longer of an outro, but the people decide not to do that. Do you think you'll release an expanded edition, or you like it where it's at, being the early finish?
Well, so I'm not talking about this too much yet, because it's a little while off, but this song is a part of a big album that I have completed for quite a while and mm-hmm. will be coming out next year. Mm-hmm. And this song was actually originally intended to be really an interlude. It wasn't really supposed to be
a single,
massive, one of the single tracks. Ah. But the label that I work with here in the UK really took to the song, and really loved it, and knew that there'd be kind of an audience for it, and they were right. It's doing quite well and finding an audience, and that's really cool. So yeah, originally it was not supposed to be a single, so it wasn't supposed to be a longer song, and in the context of the album it definitely makes more sense, so you'll have to wait a few months for that.
I can definitely wait. I want to hear more of this goodness, the soul goodness.
But I try not and let the music get in the way of the marketing. You know, I try and let the music, you know, whatever the music needs to be, and in this case I think it needs to be short. And whether that, you know, whatever happens to the song once it's out in the world, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, for sure. now, as we mentioned before, you are currently London-based. I'm curious as to when and why you moved there, and has the move affected the sound of your music in a great deal?
Yeah, I left, actually today's the 1st, isn't it, of August, so I left New Zealand exactly a year ago today, which is really cool, actually. I just realised that, and I travelled Europe for 2 months, and then I went to London, so I've been there about 10 months.
Cool.
And yeah, it's been great. It's definitely affected, I think, you know, I feel a little bit more energized in terms of not feeling like any ideas are bad ideas. You know, I feel like musicians are really wanting to do a lot in London, and it's an expensive city and a really hard city to live in. So people kind of are energized to do a lot because they kind of have to, you know, because there's this constant reminder of how expensive it is. And that's really exciting for me. And I made a lot of music before I left New Zealand, and what's really special about that now is that I'm getting to release it on a label here and release it to people in the UK and Europe, but it's New Zealand music.
Yeah,
and all these guys on this record, and especially like Louisa Williamson on saxophone. She's, you know, Wellington musician. Joe Jenkins on guitar. Sam Notman on drums, who lives in London now. We live together. And Harrison Scholes on bass. These are all Kiwis, and now they're, you know, kind of, hopefully the music they're playing is getting out to the world, and I'm really, really proud of that.
So for sure. Cool. For sure. It's good to see some expats doing some cool stuff overseas. Something I find quite interesting is when people go, I don't know, when provinces claim artists who move away, I think it's a really interesting thing. I've noticed that sometimes with student radio, like a student radio will claim an artist who started off in Auckland and moved to Wellington as still being an Auckland artist, but it's like, what's the degree to which they've, you know, it's quite fascinating. I'm curious, what do you have in store for 2024? You've got an album you mentioned in a couple months?
Yes. Yes. Well, I've got an album, quite a few more singles, and then an album next year.
Oh, yeah, next year. Okay.
So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, I've got a few more songs coming out, and hope, yeah, playing some more shows in London. I'm playing opening for Nathan Haynes, jazz, New Zealand jazz royalty, really, playing at the Jazz Cafe next week, which is great. And yeah, just more playing and more music, and I'll be back in New Zealand for maybe 6 weeks or a couple months
for a cheeky
and
tour,
play some shows
for a cheeky tour.
Yeah, well, you'll just have to wait and see, won't you?
We will wait and see. Thank you very much for joining me this morning, Arjun. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, man. I hope it's I hope the weather's okay where you are, and it's not going to be too miserable.
Oh yeah, well, I have to escape the UK to get some sunshine, but that's all right.
That's okay. Take care, Arjuna.
All right. Brilliant. Cheers.
Thank you. That was Arjuna Oakes speaking on the new single, "The Love That I Feel." It's currently 9:10 here on the Radio 1 Te Reo Irangi Kotahi breakfast program. My words are escaping me. Goodness gracious. Up next, we have Greening Out. I'm going to be talking to Kate Bonn from Opera, the Otago. I need to find the acronym here. Where is the acronym? The Otago Peninsula Eco-Restoration Alliance. That's it. I remembered. Okay, it's just flicked over to 9/11. Here is Arjuna Oakes with "The Love That I Feel." And then Arjuna's also requested a little D'Angelo afterwards. So we have "The Line" by D'Angelo. I'll see y'all soon for some penguin Protection Yarns, Kakite.
The love that I feel, I hold it in my veins. The crossing of a sacred sea is all that remains. The love that I feel.
There was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.